Welcome to Anthem Church. Thanks for joining us today. The service will begin soon. Please make your way into the auditorium and find a seat. Welcome to Anthem Church. Thanks for joining us today. The service will begin soon. Please make your way into the auditorium and find a seat.
Out in the cafe, why don't you come on in? We're going to get started with our 11 o'clock service this morning. My name is Steve. I'm one of the elders here at Anthem Church, and it's great to welcome you as we worship the Lord together. If you are visiting and you have children and you haven't had a chance to check them in, off to my left, your right, is the Anthem Kids registration area, and then Mom's room at the back where you will be able to continue nursing, and the service is streamed into that room. We're trusting the Lord for the Lord to do what only He can do. I was so convinced this week of the promises from Isaiah 53. Isaiah has this incredible prophetic picture of Jesus on the cross, the suffering servant who paid the price for our sins. But it goes on to say that He paid the price for so much more than just our salvation, as incredible as that is. It says that by His stripes we are healed. We have the promise of healing. We have the promise of God's breakthrough because of the victory of Jesus on the cross. And so that's what we're going to be trusting for today as we worship the Lord. So let's pray together, and then I'm going to hand over to the team as they lead us in worship this morning. Jesus, we thank You so much for Your incredible willingness, the sacrifice that You paid on the cross, Your death and Your resurrection from the grave, that showed us that You have defeated Satan, You have defeated sin, You have defeated death, and You have achieved for us victory. Today, Lord God, we want to take hold of everything that You have made available to us. We don't want to leave anything behind. We want to take hold of all that You want to give us this morning, and we want to do that by faith in Jesus' name. Let's worship the Lord together. Amen.
All right, come on, church, let's clap our hands. This holy desire is burning and it just gets brighter. Can't put out this fire. I just gotta lift You higher. There's ever been a time, the time is now, right now. If there's ever been a name, sing out loud, out loud. Jesus, You deserve it, You are worth it. All of my passion, all of my passion. Jesus, can't contain it. My love, my praises, all of my passion, ooh, all of my passion. Sing, whoa.
Here we go.
Not man-made emotion. No, this is from a deep devotion. Not fleeting like feelings. I sing as long as I am breathing. If there's ever been a time, the time is now, or right now. If there's ever been a name, we'll sing out loud. We lift You up out loud. And Jesus, You deserve it. Love my
habit in our family of taking a worship song and playing it week in and week out. And we've been playing this song called You've Never Lost a Battle. And in this song, there's this line that asks the question, who are you, great mountain? Who are you, great mountain? It's this incredible bridge in the song. And the question is being asked because the answer is that mountain needs to bow to the authority of Jesus. This past week, we were in Zion National Park. We took a few days off after our daughter's wedding. And I have never seen mountains like I've seen in Zion National Park. If you've been there, you'll know what it's like. And as I saw those mountains just kind of like rising up out of the ground, I was suddenly reminded of that song, Who Are You, Great Mountain? I looked at those mountains and I thought, there's no way that those mountains could be overcome. There's no way that those mountains could be flattened. And sometimes that's how we feel about mountains we face in our lives. Struggles or hardships or difficulties or things that are just not working out. Health issues, provision, whatever it is. Those mountains that just seem impossible. The question we have to ask is, who are you, great mountain? Who are you, great mountain, that you should oppose the authority of Jesus Christ? I went onto my phone and I Googled that verse because I knew it was somewhere in the Bible, and I found it in Zechariah chapter 4. There's this amazing verse just before it, one that we know well, where the prophet says to Zerubbabel, Zerubbabel's been given the task of rebuilding the temple. The prophet says, you're not going to do it by your might. You're not going to do it by your strength. You're going to do it by the power of the Lord. And the very next verse, who are you, great mountain? You shall be made a plain, a flat ground before Zerubbabel. I want to remind us today, friends, as we go back into worship, as we sing about the fact that Jesus is the one who has overcome, as we sing about the authority of Jesus, if there are mountains in your life, I want you to ask that question of that mountain. Who are you, great mountain, that you will not bow before the authority of Jesus? And it's not going to be by your strength or your power, but by the Spirit of the Lord. And so, Father, I pray today. I pray, Lord God, for those of us who are facing mountains in our lives. I pray, Lord God, we would realize, we would lay down our effort. We would surrender our own self-effort of trying to bring that mountain down. And Lord, I pray today that as we lift our eyes above those mountains to you, Jesus, that we would surrender and we would say, Lord, only you can bring that mountain down. Only you can help us find a way through it. And we ask, Lord God, just as you've done in the past, Lord God, as we look back and remind ourselves of times you've done it in the past, we say today, you are the same yesterday. You are the same today, and you will be the same forever. Who are you, great mountain, that you will not bow before the authority of the Lord? Jesus, remind us today, I pray, of the authority that we have in you, not because of anything we've done, but because of what you have done, defeating death in Jesus' name. Let's continue worshiping.
From rivers to
finds its inmost melody in every human heart, its native cry. Then it'll wander around. Should hear a phrase, we'll sing Christ be magnified. Oh, oh, Christ be magnified. Let his praise arise. Christ be magnified in me and all. Christ be magnified from the altar of my life. Oh, Christ be magnified in me. Sing it up. Christ be magnified. Let his praise arise. Christ be magnified in me. And Christ be magnified from the altar of my life. Christ be magnified in me. We lift you up higher and higher, Lord. We worship you. And I won't bow to idols. I'll stand strong and worship you. And if it puts me in the fire, I'll rejoice because you're there too. I won't be formed by feelings. I hold fast to what is true. And if the cross brings transformation, then I'll be crucified with you. Because death is just a doorway to resurrection life. And if I join you in your sufferings, then I'll join you when you rise. You see you return in glory with all the angels and the saints. My heart will still be singing and my soul will be the same. Singing, oh, Christ be
worthy is the maker, worthy is the Lamb, the promise keeper, he's worthy, worthy is the Lamb, worthy is the Lamb, worthy is the Lamb. And worthy is the Lamb seated on the throne. We crown you now with many crowns. You reign victorious, high and lifted up. Jesus, Son of God, the darling of heaven, crucified, worthy is the Lamb, worthy is the Lamb, worthy is the
the darkness fears.
fight is not my own. Its end is in your hands, yeah. And I'll worship you because I know all things must bow to your command. And one word from you, and things change on your authority. Your word is true, and things change on your authority.
Will heaven not prevail, and strongholds not be moved? Will spirits not be silenced and cower at his rule? For if my God is for me, then what have I to fear? And I will not deny him the glory that is his. Heaven will prevail, strongholds will be moved, spirits will be silenced, and cower.
All authority belongs to you. And all authority belongs to you. And all authority.
spoke about mountains earlier, just reminded of giants. 1 Samuel 16. The Israelites are facing the Philistines, and Goliath is taunting the people of God. And David, in some respects, wags his finger at the giants, and he says, "Who are you to defy the armies of God? The same God who delivered me from the lion and the bear is the God who will deliver us from you." You see, David looked back on the past and reminded himself of the victories over lions and bears so that he could stand in confidence knowing that God would deliver him from giants. He's the same God yesterday, today, and forever. I want you to take a moment right now to think about victories over lions and bears in your life. Just take a moment. Times when God has delivered you, times when God has rescued you, times when God has shown his faithfulness. We just sung a few moments ago, "Great is your faithfulness." Your promise still stands because God is faithful. Holy Spirit, I pray right now, just bring to mind victories that we've had over lions and bears. And remind us right now in Jesus' name that you haven't changed. That you're still faithful today as you were faithful then. You are still victorious today as you were victorious then. You are still great today as you were great then. You were still magnificent. You are still magnificent today as you were magnificent then. The victories we experienced then over lions and bears will be victories we walk into today over giants and mountains. Not because of anything we've done, but because you're faithful. And because all authority belongs to you. Let that break into our hearts today, Lord God. Holy Spirit, we ask right now a revelation of the authority of Jesus to break into our hearts like never before. Holy Spirit, help us. We know, Holy Spirit, you desire to exalt Jesus. Would you come right now and show us Jesus and his authority like we've never seen before? Give us that sense of assurance, that sense of certainty, that even though we might not know how, we know that you will deliver. Even though we might not know how we'll get through, we know that we will get through. Even though we might not know how that mountain will be leveled, we know that mountain will be leveled and that giant will be defeated because our God is faithful. Our God is true. Our God is mighty. Who are you, great giant? Who are you, great mountain, that you will not bow before the authority of Jesus? We love you, Lord. We pray these things in your mighty name. Amen. Amen. Our God is faithful. Amen. Amen. Why don't you turn around and say hi to somebody before you take your seats? Thanks, worship team.
Hi everyone, welcome to Anthem Church. It's great to have you with us today. If you are new here, we would love to say hi in person. Right after the meeting, please head over to the hub out in the cafe. We have a team who would love to get to know you and answer any questions you may have. You can also take out your phones right now and head over to anthemchicago.org/hello to leave your details and we can stay in touch. We have two key ways to join community and grow in your faith here at Anthem Church. You can join one of our many life groups that meet throughout the week across the city, and you can join one of our many Sunday serve teams. If you consider Anthem Church to be your home, we encourage you to give financially through tithes and offerings as an extension of your worship. You can find out more about why and how to give on our website, or you can give today using the box at the back of the auditorium. Thanks again for joining us today. We hope you enjoy the service, and above all, pray that you encounter the love, presence, and power of Jesus.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Steve. Good to see you all. I'm one of the elders here at Anthem, and it's great to have you with us today. We are excited for this morning's sermon. Nathan is going to be coming up in a few moments to minister and to preach, as we continue our series called Alive, which is a series about the Holy Spirit. But before we get there, just a couple of quick things. If you are visiting for the first time, a warm welcome to you. Can we just greet our visitors, welcome our visitors this morning? It's great to have you with us. Just a quick reminder, just as the announcements mentioned, just as you leave the auditorium at the end of the service, right up against the windows is an area called the Hub, and it's a chance for you to meet some folks from Anthem, to leave your name and email address. You can also do that on your smartphones right now, anthemchicago.org/hello. A chance just to leave your name and email address. It'll take a couple seconds. Next Sunday, after the 11 o'clock service, at 1 o'clock for 1 hour, we are hosting what we call Welcome Home. It's a lunch for those who are new or newer to Anthem, who are wanting to learn a little bit more about the church. And we invite you to come and join us for that. It's a great opportunity to meet some folks and some of the leaders as well. All we ask is an RSVP, just so that we can cater. AnthemChicago.org/hello. You'll see there's a checkbox for you to just let us know that you'd like to come along. Wednesday night is our prayer night, the last Wednesday of every month. Honestly, I don't say this just to amp up the meeting, but I honestly believe it is one of the most significant and important meetings of the church, where we gather together to cry out to God. We cannot do anything outside of prayer. We cannot do anything outside of crying out to God for Him to move in power. And that's literally what we do for an hour on Wednesday, the last Wednesday of every month, here in the auditorium from 6:30 to 7:30. So it's an invitation for you all to come and join us. We would love for you to be there. And then lastly, real quick, in June, we are hosting the US Equip. The Equip every year is a chance for us to gather together with churches around the nation that we partner with through the apostolic team called New Covenant Ministries International. We have this relationship with New Covenant Ministries, with churches around the country. And once a year, we get to host a gathering of these churches from around the country here in Chicago, right here at Anthem. You'll get a chance to meet folks from all over the country. You'll get a chance to worship together, to listen to amazing preaching, to be encouraged, to build relationships. It's a time not to be missed. So I want to invite every single one of you to come along to that. Wednesday night, Thursday, and Friday is opportunity to take 2 days of leave from work and be encouraged by the word of the Lord. And guess what? There's a discount if you register before the end of April. So the information is behind me, 50% discount. So please do that before the end of April. We would love for every one of you to be there. Amen? Nathan, why don't you come on up? I'm embracing chaos by moving the pulpit from here to there, but we need to do that. We had a friend minister here a couple of weeks ago, Grant Crawford, and his prophetic word to us was embrace chaos. So that's my version of embracing chaos. Amen? Amen. Let's reach out our hands and let's trust for God to use Nathan powerfully this morning. Father, we thank you already for what you've been doing. Thank you for such a powerful time in worship. Thank you for just reminding us that you have all authority, that you are faithful, that you are good, that you are mighty, that you have given us, Lord, your Spirit. Holy Spirit, thank you that you are here. Thank you that we don't have to ask you to come. Thank you that we don't have to plead or beg you to minister. It is your desire. It is your longing. It is your heart. And I pray simply this morning, as Nathan preaches, and as we respond, not just listen, but as we respond, I pray that we would respond to what it is you want to do. We want you to do what only you can do this morning. Come, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Even now, Lord, help us just to be sensitive and tender to your voice. Thank you that you're speaking even now, Lord God. We incline our hearts to you, Holy Spirit. Would you move? Would you minister? Would you release life, healing, and wholeness over us today? In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thanks, Steve. Well, good morning, Anthem Church. Who's ready for some chaos? I'm kidding. Well, like Steve mentioned, my name is Nathan. I'm one of the elders here at Anthem, and I'm excited to be continuing our series entitled Alive, and that's alive in the person of the Holy Spirit. You know, we do this series every 18 months at Anthem. And maybe you're sitting here and you're like, wow, that's a very consistent or frequent amount of time to do that series. It is. Maybe you're wondering, well, why do you guys do it as often as you do? I'm glad you asked. There's two reasons why, generally speaking, we do it. The first is because the person, the ministry, and the work of the Holy Spirit. This is not something that's optional at Anthem Church. This is something we desire, we need, we long, we are desperate for the move of the Holy Spirit from start to finish. That's one reason. It's in the DNA and bedrock of Anthem Church. The second reason I feel like could be best explained through a quote that I've heard. I've heard it said that in the Old Testament, the people of God, being us, have rejected God the Father. You step into the New Testament, and the people of God have rejected Jesus Christ. And this time that we're living in right now, this current church age, we have rejected and or are rejecting the person and ministry of the Holy Spirit. Said another way, I've heard, again, generally speaking, if you were to pull the Holy Spirit out of most churches in America, you know the sad thing is, if you were to take the Holy Spirit away out of churches in America, you wouldn't be able to tell the difference with the church with the Holy Spirit or without. There'd be no difference. And that's wrong. And today I'm going to recover what it means to have a proper understanding, what it means to keep in step with the person of the Holy Spirit. Look what Paul writes in 2 Timothy 3:5. Paul writes to Timothy and he says, "In the last days, Timothy, there will be a form of godliness, but denying its power." And look what he says a couple words later. He says, "Have nothing to do with such people." It's a harsh remark. Let me unpack that real quick. A form of godliness. These are people that dress the part, that speak the part. They're able to quote theology and scripture left and right, but they deny the very essence of what allows us to live this supernatural godly life, and that's the power of the Holy Spirit. And today I want to recover what it means to have that relationship back with us. Let me do a quick case study. Let's do a character study. I'm going to look at Peter. Petros, the rock of the church, and Jesus says, "Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail." Peter was boisterous. Jesus had 12 disciples, and of his 12, he had three of his closest friends, James, John, and Peter. You know where Peter is found in Jesus' time of greatest need? While Jesus is being flogged and tried in front of Roman soldiers and Jewish councils, Peter is found, Petros, the rock of the church, is found sitting around a campfire. He's denying Jesus to cultural nobodies. He does that three times, back to back to back. He denies Jesus. And in this stage of Peter's life, he is not stepping into his God-given calling of being Petros, the rock of the church. But then not so much time later, we read in the book of Acts. In Acts 2, this same Peter stands up boldly, and he preaches the gospel for the first time. And it says that men were cut to their hearts, and they say, "Peter, what should we do?" And Peter says, "Repent and be baptized, each and every one of you, for the forgiveness of your sins." And it says that 3,000 people are added to the kingdom that day. Well, that begs a really important question, and that question is, what's the difference between Peter here and Peter here? It's not like Peter grew up and matured overnight. It's not like Peter got coffee with his local church pastor. It's not like Peter went to seminary. Peter had an encounter with the person and power of the Holy Spirit. And that's what I want us to have today. I want each and every single person in this room to have an encounter, more than me. Actually, forget me. The Lord wants you to have an encounter with the person and ministry of the Holy Spirit today. And I want to take us here from this version of Peter who's denying Jesus to slave girls to this version of Peter that's saving thousands and thousands of people. And I want us to look around the room. Look around the room. There's gaps and spaces, and these gaps and spaces represent something. They represent people on the other side. The other side of us, Anthem Church, stepping into the call of God to keep in step with the Spirit, to walk into the power and authority of the Spirit. And I believe as we do that, we're going to see this place get a lot more full. There are people on the other side that are waiting for us to keep in step with the Spirit. Maybe you're sitting here and you're like, wow, this guy's getting really intense about this. And I am. This is a bit of a life message. Not a bit, it's my life message. And the person of the Holy Spirit is something that's dear to me, and how to have a relationship with this Holy Spirit is really important. But it wasn't always that way. I grew up in an Assyrian Eastern Orthodox Reformed Church. Try saying that five times fast. And I guarantee by the fifth time, it doesn't get any more interesting. Growing up, I would see a priest, and he would pull a curtain back, and I would smell incense, and I would stand for 2 hours in the front in dress clothes and dress shoes and dress pants. I saw a lot. I heard a lot. It took a lot of Advil to get through these services. But you know what I didn't see or hear or experience? Didn't see, hear, or experience the person and power of the Holy Spirit. And for 22 years, I felt like I was looking at the dollar menu of Christianity, not understanding that the fuller menu is available to us. Wow. And let's expand that menu today, friends. For 22 years, I lived as Paul warns Timothy about. I was the person that Paul says. He says, people that have an appearance of godliness, dress clothes, sitting in the front, quoting scripture, but I deny the power of God that was available to us today. I want us to recover that. For 22 years, in the 22nd year of my life, I mentioned that I've mentioned here before that I played Division III volleyball at Dominican University. And for 4 years, I rode the bench. I didn't get a lick of playing time. But in my senior year of college, I had a small sliver of a shot to get some playing time. And it was me and this guy, and we were duking it out. I go back home for winter break. And I'm sitting around for winter break, excited for the season. I'm working out, and I'm sitting on my couch, and I notice that I have a mass near my groin. I go to the doctor. They check it out, and they're like, hey, we don't know if it's cancerous or not, but you need to have surgery to get it removed. And by the way, that senior year of college that you're hoping to get playing time on, you can kiss that goodbye. So I go back home all despondent and upset, and I had a spiritual brother friend of mine who came, and I'm telling him about this, and he goes, hey, just give me 1 second. He runs over to his car, comes back. He has this little vial of anointing oil. He goes, hey, can I pray with you? Can I pray over you with this anointing oil? I said, sure, man, do what you got to do. I don't know what to do. And so I kind of stood here like this with one eye open, trying to figure out what was going on, and he prayed in the shape of a cross. He went home. I went to sleep that night, and nothing happened. Nothing changed. But 3 days later, I noticed that mass was gone. I was supernaturally healed under the power of the Holy Spirit. You know what that did for me? 22 years, I looked at the dollar menu, and on the 22nd year of my life, the menu was expanded. My idea of Christianity got flipped on its head. It was completely flipped, and that sent me down a journey. I went down a journey from church to church, and podcast to podcast, and sermon to sermon, book to book, resource to resource, trying to understand who is the Holy Spirit, and what does he mean for me and the church. It's the very reason I'm here at Anthem. I want to step off real quick because I'm not saying this as an elder of a church. I'm saying this that as someone who's gone on a journey, has been on this journey of trying to understand the person of the Holy Spirit. And if you're here today and you're trying to understand who the Holy Spirit is, can I just say you're in one of the best places possible? One of the best places possible to understand the ministry and presence and work of the Holy Spirit. For 22 years, and it got flipped on my head. And I want our theology to get shaken a little bit. I want us to encounter the person of the Holy Spirit. And you know what's going to happen? I believe as some of us, as we get empowered by the person and leading of the Holy Spirit, there are going to be two things that take place. As we walk out of Albany Park, two things are taking place in the heavenlies. One, there are angels that are cheering you on, that are roaring you on, saying, yes, go, 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 Jocelyn, go, go, Charles, go, Peck. And what's happening is they're roaring you on because they know you're tapping into something beyond yourself. But on that same token, there are demons and principalities over Albany Park that are shaking in their boots because they know their time's coming to an end. And friends, I believe what's going to take place is as we walk in step with the Spirit is that Albany Park is going to be flipped on its head. And I think there's going to be a drop in crime rates. There's going to be a drop in homelessness. And this place is going to get a lot fuller. Let's encounter the person of the Holy Spirit. Let's see what Scripture says, but before I do, just a quick roadmap on where we're going. I'm going to be reading out of Galatians 5, 16 to 25. It's going to be the anchor text today. I'm going to bring out some context. I want to talk about why we want to walk in step with the Spirit. Two things that fight us from keeping in step with the Spirit, and 7 quick points to keep it practical on how to keep in step with the Spirit. If you don't have a Bible, no worries. The words will be on the screen behind me. I'm reading out of the NIV today. I'm usually an ESV guy, extra spiritual version. But today I decided to be all things to all people. So Galatians 5, 16 onwards, it says this. Paul writes, so I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. It's this beautiful text, but the context brings it to life even more. What's going on at this point in time? Why is Paul writing this letter to the church in Galatians? I want to answer that really quickly. We have to remember that Christianity is an offshoot of Judaism. We were birthed out of Judaism. And so there are Jewish Christians that are being saved daily. But then what's also taking place is there are Gentile Christians or non-Jewish Christians. It's a majority of us here in this room. And they're being added to the kingdom as well. And there's an outnumbering that's taking place. The Gentile Christians are outnumbering the non-Jewish or the Jewish Christians. And that creates this tension that takes place. And out of this tension, there's this group called the Judaizers. And the Judaizers are Messianic Jews, or Jewish-believing Christians. And what they believe is that, yes, you can only be saved through Christ alone and by faith alone, but you also have to get circumcised and follow the law of Moses. And they carried some weight, so much so that Petros, the rock of the church, Peter, starts aligning with them. And Peter's confused, and while Peter's confused, Barnabas is over here, and he's like, well, what's going on? And he almost gets led astray. And while that's taking place, Paul catches wind of this, and Paul understands the hour at hand. Paul understands that the very essence of the gospel that we preach and churches preach all over the world, is under attack. It's in crisis mode. In the middle of this crisis, Paul writes and he says, keep in step with the spirits. You want to know how to live out the gospel, friends? You keep in step with the Spirit. Paul seemed it fit to remedy this issue of the gospel that's taking place by encouraging us to keep in step with the Spirit. So now that I've talked about the context, I want to talk about why do we want to keep in step with the Spirit. Let me answer that. Well, first, it's quite literally a matter of life or death. And I know I've been intense and jarring, and I'm not just saying that to say that. Romans 8:13 says that if you keep in step with the flesh, when the flesh is fully born out, it leads to death. But on that same token, it says if you keep in step with the Spirit leads to life. You have two options presented before you, friends, as a Christian. We can pick the path that leads to life, which is the Spirit, or the path that leads to death, which is the flesh. The one that you pick makes the world of a difference. And look, notice how Paul doesn't give you a middle ground. He doesn't give you sometimes you can have one foot in and one foot. No. It's either the Spirit and life or flesh and death. That's one reason why we want to keep in step with the Spirit. But secondly, Paul writes this incredible thing in verse 18. He says, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. And that's a breathtaking statement, especially to the Judaizers who are promoting the law of Moses. They're saying, follow these rules. And Paul's saying, hey, actually don't. If you keep in step with the Spirit, you don't have to worry about being circumcised and following the Sabbath and so on and so forth. There's something more beneficial to you, and that's the Holy Spirit. So maybe if you're here today and you're new to Christianity and you don't really understand what we do and, you know, can I swear, can I not, can I lie, can I not lie, can I go over the speed limits, should I put my hands up during worship? Don't worry about those things. Paul's saying keep in step with the Spirit. If you keep in step with the Spirit, you won't contradict the law because the Holy Spirit wrote the word of God. He wrote the law. So that's one reason why. So why do we want to keep in step with the Spirit? It's a matter of life or death, and we're not under the law. And this one, I think, is the most compelling. It's to your advantage. Not my words. It's what Jesus says to his disciples. In John 16, the disciples are in a panic. Jesus has just told them, I have to go back. And the disciples are like, what do you mean, Jesus? You can't go back. We haven't overthrown the Roman Empire. We're at the peak of our ministry. We haven't decided who's going to sit at the right hand of the Father. What do you mean? You're going back. You can't leave. And in that distraught, Jesus, the author and perfecter and finisher of our faith, he says to his disciples, he says, you guys don't get it. You don't understand. It's to your advantage that I go. Because if I don't go, then the Holy Spirit can't come. and he's better for you than I would be in the flesh. It's to your advantage. So why do we want to keep in step with the Spirit? It's a matter of life or death, not under the law, and it's to your advantage. And I wish it was just that easy. You know, we just, okay, well, great. And then, okay, now I'm keeping in step with the Spirit. But there are things that are fighting against us from keeping in step with the Spirit. There are two things that I want to point out. One is the flesh. Paul mentions this in Galatians. He talks about the flesh, and he says the two are at war to keep you from doing what you want to do. So the question we have to ask ourselves is, what is the flesh? Is it this extra flab that's sitting under my arms? Is it these thunder thighs? You guys were supposed to say, no, I don't have thunder thighs. But is it the love hand? That's not the flesh. I could tell you what the flesh is, but I'd rather elicit the flesh. Let me bring the flesh alive, actually, for a couple people here. Imagine you're running late to work, and you're driving down I-90, and it's bumper-to-bumper traffic, and a guy cuts you off. Oh, yeah, you feel that, don't you? Okay, let me turn it up a notch. Let me turn the dial up a little bit. To my Democratic friends in the room, I'm voting for Donald Trump. Okay. All right, fine. To my Republican friends in the room, I'm voting for Joe Biden. Oh, okay, I see some people getting angry. There we go. That's what it, fine, let me turn it down a notch. Let me bring it down a notch again. To my real NFL football fans, you want to know why I watched the Super Bowl this year? I watched the Super Bowl to see every single one of Taylor Swift's reactions to every time Travis Kelce did something well. You feel that, though. You feel that. That thing that's rising up in you, that's the flesh. And the flesh, when it's fully birthed out, when you act on that, when you want to come up and punch me in the face, and you punch me in the face, that's when the flesh has been brought to life. And Paul says to crucify the flesh. That's one thing that's keeping us from walking in step with the spirits. The second thing is, if I'm being honest, there's just some weird stuff out there, right? There's some weird Holy Spirit stuff. You don't have to scroll through Instagram or TikTok too far to see that there's some weird stuff out there. And I saw a lot of that weird stuff on my journey. But here, there's a really important thing, and I'm not bringing this up to disrespect anyone or ruffle anybody's feathers. There's a response that's required to the abuse of the gifts of the spirits. There's a response that happens, whether it's required or not. For 22 years, I kept a distance when I saw the abuse of the gifts of the Spirit, when I saw the abuse of relationship with the Holy Spirit. But that's the wrong response. The response to abuse of the Spirit or abuse of relationship with the Spirit can't be no use. It's proper use. It's correct use. And I believe we as Anthem Church, man, we have this incredible opportunity to model to America, to Chicagoland area, and to the heavenlies on what correct use and correct relationship with the Holy Spirit looks like. So what's fighting us from keeping in step with the Spirit? The flesh and the weird stuff that's out there. Now I want to get practical. I want to give 7 points on how to walk in step with the Spirit. Maybe this is where some of you check out. And you see some of the people that come up here and they give these incredible words that brings the roof down and you're like, surely not me. I can't do that. I want to say that, do you understand that if you have put your faith in Jesus Christ, that the same Spirit that brought Jesus to life, that same Holy Spirit is living in you as well? So you can do these things. So I want to give some 7 practical guidelines on how to keep in step with the Spirit. But before I do, I want to make a really important point. The thing that umbrellas these 7 points that I'm about to make is that you can't see this as a 7-step formula. This isn't follow these 7 rules and I'm keeping in step with the Spirit. The first thing that's required is to submit to the Holy Spirit. You have to submit and understand that I'm tired of doing this in my white knuckle determination, and submit and understand there's a better way to do this. And only then do these 7 things fall into its proper perspective. So how do we keep in step with the Spirit? We model after Jesus. And I know some of you guys just rolled your eyes back because you grew up in Sunday school and the teacher asked you, well, what's peace? And you're like, Jesus, that's not what I'm talking about. When I say we model after Jesus, look at what Luke 4:1 says. It says that immediately after being baptized, Jesus is led into the wilderness by the Spirit. In other words, Jesus is Spirit-led throughout his 3 years ministry and throughout the course of his life. And that's important for us because there's this misconception out there. There's this misconception that, that everything that Jesus did was because he was just the Son of God. That's not completely true. Jesus came down to earth as fully man and fully God, but he laid aside the benefits of his divinity. And he kept in step with the Spirit to set us an example, to model for us what it means to keep in step with the Spirit. So that means if you're here today, do you understand that you can do the same things that Jesus did in the Bible if you have the Holy Spirit in you? Actually, let me turn it up a notch. You know, it says that Jesus says, he says, you will do these works and even greater works. And theologians have debated, and they're like, what's greater works? You know what it's not? It's not lesser works. There's greater works that's required of us, church. I believe we're going to see that in our time here at Anthem. So we model after Jesus. That's the first thing. We crucify the flesh. Remember I mentioned there are two things at war, the flesh and the spirit. And if two things are at war, well, how do you win a war? You kill off the enemy. It's pretty simple. So how do you kill off the flesh? Well, again, we model after Jesus. Look at what Jesus did after he was baptized. It says he was led into the wilderness by the Spirit. And he's in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights, and he's fasting, he's praying, he's being tempted by the devil. What's going on in the wilderness is that Jesus' flesh is dying, and his spirit is coming alive. And it says that he returns in the power of the Holy Spirit. And only then does Jesus start his full-time ministry. You want to know how to kill off the flesh, friends? Let me keep it super practical. Fast. Fast from food. Fast from whatever would feed your flesh, both physically and spiritually. It might be Netflix. It might be TikTok, Instagram, whatever it is. It's different for each person. It's not for me to decide. So how do we keep in step with the Spirit? We model after Jesus, we crucify the flesh, and we don't grieve or quench the Holy Spirit. And that's an important distinction. Grieving and quenching are two different things. Let me talk about grieving first. Ephesians 4, 30 to 32 says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit on whom you have been sealed for your day of redemption. Put away all bitterness, clamor, anger, strife, malice, brawling, slander, all this other stuff that Paul mentions. And he says, be tender-hearted to one another, forgiving one another just as Christ Jesus forgave you. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. So what is grieving? Notice that list. Those things are character issues. These are not one-off sins where you curse and you're, oh no, and you get back up. No. These are long-lasting issues. These are states of being. Bitterness, slander, anger, strife. And these things grieve the Holy Spirit. And it puts a distance between you and the Holy Spirit. Let me bring my relationship with Marcy, my marriage with Marcy to life real quick. And think about your own relationships, whether it's marriages or friendships. If my state of being 24/7 is I'm a drunk, or I'm a lazy person, or I'm an abusive husband, you know what that does? That those states of being of who I am grieves Marcy. And when Marcy's grieved, she wants nothing to do with me. It puts a distance in our relationship. So in the same way, friends, we can grieve the Holy Spirit. And if we grieve the Holy Spirit, it becomes a whole lot harder to keep in step with the Spirit. That's one. But we also don't quench the Holy Spirit. That's what Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5. He says, don't quench the Holy Spirit. Well, what's quenching? Again, let me bring out my relationship with Marcy. Imagine Marcy comes up to me and she's like, hey, can we go to the Bulls game? And I'm like, I don't really want to go to the Bulls game. She's like, okay, fine. A couple days later, she's like, can we go to a steak dinner? And I'm like, no, I don't want to do a steak dinner. A couple days later, she's like, okay, fine. Can we at least just go on a walk at the park? I'm like, I don't want to do that either. What's taking place? Time after time, I've said, no, Marcy, no, Marcy, no, Marcy. And that quenched her voice in my life. And in the same way, we can quench the voice of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit tells you to go talk to that person that's in the back over there. And you're like, I don't know that person. That person's weird. Or they smell bad. And I don't want to do that. You say no enough times, you have quenched the Holy Spirit. You've silenced his voice in your life. The Holy Spirit is a fire. He speaks to us. And quenching is taking the water of disobedience and silencing the voice of the Holy Spirit in your life. We keep in step with the Spirit by not grieving or quenching the Holy Spirit. We walk in community. I mean, this one's pretty self-explanatory. I don't want to spend too much time on this, but if you read the narrative of Scripture, there's no such things as solo runners. There's nobody who's doing the Christian life alone. Nobody who's keeping in step with the Spirit that's isolated. If you are properly keeping in step with the Spirit, you know what it'll do? It'll bring you to a local church body. It'll bring you to a body of believers. You can't do this Christian life alone, friends. And so practically, if you're here, and I'm not saying this is a plug of Anthem Church, I'm saying this because you want to learn how to keep in step with the Spirit, be a part of a small group or a life group, and be a part of a serve team. And you'll see, and you'll learn from other people who are keeping in step with the Spirit. You learn to catch these things. A lot of this stuff, keeping in step with the Spirit, is caught a lot of the time. It's not taught as much. So how do you keep in step with the Spirit? You model after Jesus. We crucify the flesh. We don't grieve or quench the Spirit. We walk in community, and we walk and not run. I know some of you are like, hey, yeah, great points. Hey, slow down, man. Take it easy. I can't run with the Holy Spirit. That's not what I'm talking about. When I say walk, not run, I mean there's movement that's required. You need to be on mission in order to keep in step with the Spirit. The Holy Spirit has been given to us so we can advance the kingdom of God. There's movement. Matter of fact, maybe some of us probably need to pick up our pace a little bit. We need to walk a little faster, if anything. The reason I say walk and not run is because that's the language the Bible uses. God the Father walked with Adam and Eve in the cool of the garden. Jesus walked with his disciples, and we get to walk with the Holy Spirit. But you know what walking also communicates? It communicates something intimate. You don't walk with strangers. You don't walk with someone you don't feel comfortable with. You can run with them. There's running clubs all over the place. Shoe stores have running clubs, and strangers get together, and they go on runs. But you only go on long romantic walks with people you feel intimate or trustworthy with. If you don't believe me, look at the Scriptures. Look at Luke 24. It says there's this incredible account of the two on the road to Emmaus. And Jesus is walking with these two guys, and they're distraught over what took place. And Jesus is walking in with them, and he has not told them who he is. He hasn't revealed his identity. And the three are walking. And Jesus is unpacking Scripture, and he's like, yeah, this points to me, and this points to me. What's going on? He's engaging them intellectually, right? He's talking to them about this. But at the end of the walk, what happens? They say, did our hearts not burn? In other words, when you walk with God, intimacy overrides intellect. And that intimacy is required in order to keep on mission. We go to God, we get intimate with the Father, and we go on mission. That's the only way we can keep doing this as we keep in step with the Spirit. So how do we keep in step with the Spirit? We model after Jesus. We crucify the flesh. We don't grieve or quench the Spirit. We walk in community. We walk and not run. And we listen and talk to the Holy Spirit. You know, every good relationship, whether it's a marriage or friendship or business relationship, every good relationship is built on one thing. And it dies or thrives on communication. But I would venture to say the best relationships, the greatest relationships, are those where the person listens better than they do talk. I think we need to listen to the Holy Spirit more than we need to talk to the Holy Spirit. Let me give you this word picture. You know, there's a study that's been done. And let's say me and Aiden, we're going down a walk, on a romantic walk around the park. That's not too far out of the truth, by the way. And we're talking, and he's like, sheesh, man, that sermon was really bad, and why'd you say this, and why'd you say that? And I'm like, I don't know, Aiden, it was on my heart. And we're talking and walking. You know what happens over time is that mine and Aiden's strides, our steps, will sync up without even knowing it. You talk and you walk with someone, the strides sync up, and I think that's what happens with the Holy Spirit. Imagine the Holy Spirit tells you to go talk to that person over there, and you're like, okay, I'm going to go. And you're stepping out, you're walking out, but what's taking place in the supernatural is the Holy Spirit is giving you words and pictures and phrases to bless that person with. But it happens as you step out, as you keep in step. And that step happens as you listen and posture to hear from the Holy Spirit and obey. So how do we keep in step with the Spirit? I mentioned lots, I've repeated it a couple times. But I'll end with this, we practice. We practice. And this is where I want to demystify this. Let me tell you one of my biggest failures of keeping in step with the Spirit. This was a couple months ago, and what happened was I was in Uptown, and I'm waiting for the 92 bus to catch down Foster. And as I'm waiting, there's a guy in front of me, and he's paying for his fare, and he's coming up with coins and dollars, and he's scrambling. And I just felt the Holy Spirit put it on my heart, hey, pay for his ticket, pay for his fare. I was like, I don't want to be weird. I had quenched the Holy Spirit. We get on the bus, and I'm sitting there thinking, I'm like, dang it, if I would have just paid for his ticket, maybe I had an ear to share the gospel with him. Maybe I could have talked to him about Jesus on the bus ride back. We get off the bus, I go home, we go to Fusion, we go to small group, and afterwards, a lot of us, we go out to eat. And on this particular day, we were at Kababi on Kedzie. And I sit down at Kababi, and we're eating, and my mouth drops. The same guy that was on the bus just walked in, he sat across from me. And I thought, dang it. If only I would have just paid for his bus fare, I could have evangelized to him, but then all these other Fusion people could have done it too. And as I'm thinking that, I'm like, dang it, I'm missing it again, because he's brought to me a second time. The Lord gave me a second chance. I quenched them again. We practice. You stumble. The walk isn't always linear and upward. You're going to stumble, but the thing is, you practice and you learn to walk. You learn to walk in step with the Spirit. Let me end on a high note. And while I finish this story, I'm going to invite the worship team back up, actually. You know, this week I felt that the Lord put it on my heart to Uber everywhere in the neighborhood. Like if I was going from church to this place or anywhere in Albany Park, I just felt that I needed to call an Uber. And I didn't come into the Uber with my Bible and a gospel presentation. I just came and I just wanted to listen and hear, Holy Spirit, what are you doing? And there was this one lady, and at the end of it, she drops me off and she goes, you seem like a really good man. I'm like, hey, you know what? I'm not anything, but there's wonderful people here that are much better than I am. Why don't you come to church this Sunday? I got an opportunity to bless her that way. And then this other Uber driver, what happened was is we were driving back. And it was silent. Nothing happened. But then this guy almost rear-ends him, and we got into this conversation about people being crazy drivers, so on and so forth. And he's like, oh, what's wrong, man? I'm like, it's been a long day. I've been fasting. And he goes, oh, are you Islamic? I'm like, no. I believe in Jesus. And I got an opportunity to talk to him about who Jesus was. He's like, tell me about this Jesus. And I invited him to church. He goes, you know what? I'm going to actually bring my family too. We practice. And we learn to keep in step with the Spirit over time, friends. So how do we keep in step with the Spirit to bring this to land? We model after Jesus. We crucify the flesh. We don't grieve or quench the Spirit. We walk in community. We walk and not run. We listen and talk to the Holy Spirit. And we practice. Let's stand, friends. Talking about this theme and pattern of walking all throughout Scripture. God the Father walked with Adam and Eve in the cool of garden. And then Adam and Eve sinned, and the repercussions of that is humanity has ran from the presence of God. And we've run and run and run. And Jesus sees this in heaven, and he says, Father, send me. I'll go and walk amongst them. And for 30 years, Jesus walks amongst his disciples. He walks amongst us. And you know, there was one point that Jesus didn't walk. And that's when Jesus was going up a hill. He stumbled his way up a hill. And his ability to walk was taken away from him as he was crucified on a cross. And he hung on a cross. He was laid in a tomb, and he was resurrected, and he walked amongst us again, and now he's seated at the right hand of the Father, and he has sent his Holy Spirit so that we can walk in step with the Holy Spirit. You know, normally this is the point of the gospel response where I would ask you to slip your hand up, but I actually think there's a bold, courageous response that's required for some of us here. If you have not put your faith in Jesus, I want you to walk to the front. I want you to walk. Take that step of faith. Be courageous. And I believe as you walk, there's going to be things that are broken off, things that are holding you down that are being released. And you're going to encounter the intimacy of the Father, the presence and love of Jesus, and the power of the Holy Spirit. If that's you, I want you to walk. Walk to the front. And there are going to be leaders here that want to pray for you. It's a bold response I'm asking. To the rest of us in this room, I think there's also a response required. Before we go into worship, before Jill and the rest of the worship team land this service, I think it's so easy for us to hear sermons about the Holy Spirit and sit here and be like, okay, I'll wait. I'll wait till the end of this series so I can receive the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. That's just simply not true. Jesus writes in Scripture, he says, if an earthly father, when his son asks for bread, knows not to give him a scorpion, how much more will our Heavenly Father give us the Holy Spirit to those who ask? And I know there are some of us here who are desiring and wanting to encounter the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. In the first service, there was a guy who said that his hand started shaking. And his hand started shaking because the power of God came upon him. Maybe there are different things that are happening to you right now. Maybe you're feeling a warmth. And I want to just ask you to respond to that. As the worship team takes us back into a time of worship, maybe it's you just sitting down where you are. And they're singing over you and you're responding and receiving. Or maybe there is a response for you to come to the front and walk to the front and receive the intimacy that comes with walking with the Holy Spirit. Whatever it is, friends, let's not miss this moment. There's an opportunity to encounter the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, here today. And I want to make sure none of us, please do not leave this place until you have encountered the manifest presence of God. Amen? Amen.
Hallelujah, come. Hallelujah.
just a moment or two longer. Let's just stay in that place of receiving. I'm so challenged by Nathan's message generally, but specifically around quenching and grieving the Holy Spirit. You know, we must never be afraid of what the Holy Spirit reveals. Because what the Holy Spirit reveals, He empowers us to be healed from. That didn't rhyme as I'd hoped it would, but I think you get the message of what I'm trying to say. You know, I was just listening to Jill sing, "You make me new, you are making me new." And I was just asking the Spirit, where have I grieved you? And I felt the Lord reveal something. And I felt strength to actually step in and make right. Not just only with the Holy Spirit, but with the person. And I just want to ask us, we've got a minute. Let's just close our eyes for a moment. And I'm not forcing anything, and I'm not putting anything on anyone. But can we just take a moment and invite the Holy Spirit to reveal if there's any area in our lives where we might be grieving Him? And then to receive His grace to step into healing. So Holy Spirit, right now, would you come? If there's any area in our lives where we are grieving you, we want to be a people walking in step with you. Not at arm's length, but in step with you, close. Right now, Holy Spirit, would you reveal? And Lord, as you reveal, would you pour out your grace to bring healing? Would you pour out your grace that we can hold on to and step into that beautiful gift of repentance? Not to be afraid of it, but Lord, to know that as we repent, there is life because of what you've done for us. And then Lord, we want to be those that don't quench your Spirit. Lord, we look at the week ahead, and we know that the week ahead is going to require us walking in step with you. Right now, Holy Spirit, would you begin to speak? Would you begin to show us what the week ahead looks like? Would you begin to remind us that we can trust you? You make us new. You are making us new. Thank you, Lord. We love you. Holy Spirit, we love you. Holy Spirit, we love you. Thank you for your leadership in our lives. Just 30 seconds more. Just a wonderful sense of God's presence here this morning. Just refresh us, Holy Spirit. Scriptures are true. A moment in your presence is better than 1,000 elsewhere. Just refresh us, Lord. This morning, I'm going to invite the elders, deacons, small group leaders, life group leaders, if you wouldn't mind just coming forward and making yourself available to pray for folks. If you are here today and are wanting someone to stand with you in prayer, as Nathan said, don't walk away. Walk in step with the Spirit. Don't quench the prompting of the Spirit. Come forward, receive some ministry, receive some prayer. If you're visiting or new to the church, don't forget to stop by the Hub. Grab a cup of coffee as well at our coffee bar. Don't rush off. Let's enjoy the community of the Holy Spirit this morning as we fellowship. Nathan, can we just thank Nathan for that message? Outstanding. Really outstanding. Let's have a wonderful Sunday. Thanks, everyone, for coming.